The new two-part documentary, Trump's Front Row Joes, is the first inside look at Trump's diehard fans.
The Front Row Joes are incredible people.
Camping out for days to be in the front row at every Trump rally to support their hero.
The kind of basis for all the rallies, there's like dead fans.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer.
You had to love Mr. Donald Trump.
Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Today is the day we finally hear from President Trump, and I am telling you, folks, it is going to be a wild night at the RNC. 50 Cent's going to be there. Elon Musk. You've got Hulk Hogan, and it's going to be unbelievable. Just unbelievable. The number of speakers that are going to be there tonight, leading up to the main event, which is Donald J. Trump taking the stage and officially accepting the Republican Party's nomination for president of these great United States. It is going to be a great day. We have a great show for you. We need about 6 hours of programming today to get through everything we've got to talk about. But I want to go back yesterday, and we've got a lot to rehash about yesterday. I don't know what it was like in your house, but were you having a serious pollen problem in your home last night during the RNC? Because I think not only was there a serious pollen and allergy issue in my home, but I think there was also one in the auditorium, the Fiserv Forum there in Milwaukee. I had never seen so many red eyes and puffy faces as people were just weeping. And they were patriot tears of joy, patriot tears of sorrow. There were a lot of people weeping last night as they heard these powerful stories and testimonies from everyday Americans. And I am telling you that the way this convention has been put together has been a masterpiece. What a brilliant night of celebrating America and celebrating American heroes and warning the American people that there is a price to pay for freedom, but there's also a price to pay for picking the wrong people at the ballot box. And that was all on display last night. And you got to love the story about J.D. Vance and his beautiful mamaw. And I don't know, it just, the crowd was just, you know how you're at a concert, you're at some sort of event, and the crowd is just there, and you can feel the energy, and you're just working off of that. That was the crowd last night. And when the crowd started chanting his grandmother's name, Mamaw, they were chanting over and over and over, over again for Mamaw. And then when J.D. Vance brought up his mom, 10 years sober, and the crowd started chanting, J.D.'s mom, J.D.'s mom. I mean, it was truly and uniquely an American moment. We weren't talking about politics last night. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at the makeup of the Republican Party right now, and what the Republican Party has been repudiating from the platform, this is no longer it's really just a Republican Party in name only. It's something else. It has morphed into something else. It's not full-blown populism, but it is certainly a massive strain of populism that has overtaken the Republican Party. It's no longer the party of Wall Street and the Chambers of Commerce. This is a party of the people, hardworking American men and women. That's who this is the party of. And to see the stories, to see the diversity front and center, not in a pandering way, but in a very real way. You know what was interesting about J.D. Vance's wife, Usha? She gave a fine speech. And I mean, if you're not used to speaking in public, to have to speak to 16,000-17,000 people in an arena and then tens of millions on national television, that'll scare the living daylights out of you. But last night, she got up there, and Usha Vance told her story. She told her story about her husband. Not once did she ever say, "I'm a person of color." Not once. It was irrelevant to the conversation. And I think that really signifies the tone and the tenor of who we are as conservatives. Now, there's a lot to unravel from last night. I know many of you probably had a favorite moment. Of course, we're going to get to the audio of the Afghanistan families in just a moment. And that was the reaction from folks like CNN. Jaws dropped. Even the folks at CNN realized how devastating this was for the Democrats, that the commander in chief would not even say their names in public. That, to me, was a powerful moment. You had the frat bros show up from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Those guys coming in, and they were all wearing the blue blazers and the ties and the khaki. It looked like a Brooks Brothers commercial. Coming in there with those American flags and waving the American flags and people giving the guys high fives. You know, there was some sort of a raging kegger going on last night somewhere in Milwaukee, and those guys were there. And it was just, you couldn't help but smile and celebrate America. This is who we are. You know, when I wrote Twilight's Last Gleaming, I got a lot of notes from people saying, "Todd, we think you have too much hope in America." But look at what happened last night in that convention hall. That's who I was writing the book about. These are the people. This is the mentality that is going to save this country, that is going to save the republic. I feel great about it. I truly do. Now, we're going to play a lot of audio. We're going to have some great interviews. As a matter of fact, coming up, we're going to be talking to a couple of the U.S. senators who literally chased down the head of the Secret Service. She was actually, Kimberly Cheadle is her name. She was actually in Milwaukee last night. And my question is, why? Why was the director of the Secret Service in Milwaukee? I don't want that woman anywhere around our president. I don't know about you, but the more that this story begins to unravel, the more I am concerned that something else was going on and something else that we don't know about. Now, there is also new reporting out that there may have been some sort of a second shooter coming from near or at the water tower there in Butler County, PA, at the state fairgrounds. There's also new information about Thomas Crooks. And by the way, and someone pointed this out on social media, the photo they're using was his high school photograph. This guy is 20 years old now. And the new photographs show this guy with gauges in his lips. He's got the long hair. He looks like one of these transgender freakoids. That's what he looks like now. But the media doesn't want to show you that picture. And I want to know why. Why is it that they're trying to portray this kid as if he's just some sort of a little nerdy computer guy that just decided to open fire? It looks like this was all premeditated. And so we're going to do a blow-by-blow of exactly what happened and when it happened. And I will say this, the New York Times did a really good job of providing the detailed blow-by-blow. And when you read it, it is just absolutely devastating for the Secret Service. They're not letting the owner of the building talk to the media. Why is that? Why is the owner of that building not being allowed to talk to the media? Why is it that there are some very bizarre things going on with the stock surrounding True Social leading up to the shooting? And why is it that BlackRock was involved in all of that? Lots of very interesting questions that we're going to get into today. So a lot to talk about. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio here. This is J.D. Vance telling the story of his mamaw. Cut number two.
And my community paid the price. Now, I was lucky. Despite the closing factories and the growing addiction in towns like mine, in my life, I had a guardian angel by my side. She was an old woman who could barely walk, but she was tough as nails. I called her Mamaw, the name we hillbillies gave to our grandmothers. Mamaw raised me as her own, Mamaw raised me as my mother struggled with addiction. Mamaw was in so many ways a woman of contradiction. She loved the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. She was a woman of very deep Christian faith. But she also loved the F word. I'm not kidding. She could make a sailor blush. Now, she once told me, when she found out that I was spending too much time with a local kid who was known for dealing drugs, that if I ever hung out with that kid again, she would run him over with her car. That's true. And she said, JD, no one will ever find out about it.
Now, there you go. Look, that one moment, and I just hope there were so many independents or maybe people who aren't involved in the political process, I hope they were watching at that moment. Now, there's probably going to be a lot of stuff that I disagree with J.D. Vance about. But one thing that this man does do is love his country, and he fought for his country. And I'm going to stand alongside him. I think this is a great pick. This is not a conservative ticket. This is a populist ticket. Understand that. And a lot of you culture war voters out there are going to have to come to terms with that. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But when you hear the story of J.D. Vance, you hear a story that every person in this country can relate to. There's somebody in your family who has been battling with a drug addiction. There has been somebody in your family who is living in abject poverty. There's somebody in your family who's been able to rise up out of that and cling to and claim their American dream. And I love the fact that he's got this grandma. I think all of us have a grandma just like J.D. Vance's. Gun-toting, Bible-clinging grandmas that would do anything to protect their grandchildren and quite frankly, are known to use salty words every now and again. It happens. So I say God bless you, J.D. Vance. He went on to talk about how they found 19 fully loaded weapons in his grandmother's house when she had died. That was back in 2005. And they couldn't figure it out. Why does she have all of these loaded weapons? He said they were all over the house. And he realized that when she was getting on up in age, that she was not as fast as she was. And she wanted to make sure that no matter where she was in her house, that if somebody broke in or somebody did something, that she would have a weapon at the ready, no matter where she was. And I love that story. It's an American story. You're not going to hear that kind of a story anywhere else in the world. It is an American story. By the way, J.D. Vance, he grew up in the Rust Belt. These are the people that Barack Hussein Obama talked about back in 2007. You might remember the story. It was a private fundraising gathering in San Francisco. Somebody secretly recorded it. And Obama in San Francisco was talking about those people in the Rust Belt, those people who cling to their guns and they cling to their religion. And he called them bitter people, called them bitter Americans. Well, those Americans are the folks that are out there working to build your cars. Those Americans, those bitter Americans, are the ones that are out there toiling in the fields right now, raising the crops to put food on your table. And those people, those bitter Americans, they're not bitter. They're patriots, hardworking, America-loving patriots. That's who they are. And all I can tell you is this again shows you how out of touch the elites are in politics and the media. As a matter of fact, Salon.com has a headline up right now saying gun extremists have a dream ticket, talking about J.D. Vance's dead grandma. All I can say is this, ladies and gentlemen, it's just too bad that Senator Vance's mamaw was not in charge of President Trump's Secret Service detail the other day. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show. You might have heard Mike Lindell of MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They've been part of the cancel culture, so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, $25. Brand-new four-pack dish towels, you guessed it, just $25. And for the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all-new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping, too. This amazing offer won't last long, so go to MyPillow.com and use the promo code STARNS or call 1-800-839-8506 today. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back. Good to have you with us. The other big story we've been covering is President Biden, and Axios is now reporting it's probably going to happen this weekend. It is not a matter of if, but when the president drops out of the race. Now, look, yesterday we told you, and this news breaking during our show yesterday, that Joe Biden came down with a raging case of the COVID. And I don't know. Here's the deal. He was out there shaking hands. He was in a Mexican restaurant, shaking hands with people, meeting them, getting up in their face. He was on a campaign event over in Nevada. And then all of a sudden, we get word that the president's come down with COVID. Now, he came down with COVID just after BET published an interview where the president said if a medical doctor told him he had a condition and he needed to get out of the race, he would get out of the race. So then all of a sudden, the guy comes down with COVID, and you see the video. You've seen the video. We've got the video over on our website, toddstearns.com, where they've got the little kiddie stairs out for the president. He can't go up the big boy stairs anymore. It's always the kiddie stairs. And it's like there was this episode of Everybody Loves Raymond where Deborah Barone's father divorced the wife and got and actually found an older woman. She was like in her, I don't know, 80s or 90s. And she was going up the stairs to take a nap. And it was like, take a step and then another step. Take a step and then another step. That was Joe Biden yesterday. I mean, at first, I thought the video had been slow-mo'd. And I reached down and they said, no, Stearns, this is not slow motion. This is reality. It took the guy almost 60 seconds to get up the little kiddie stairs. And my question here is he faking it or is he really this bad off? Because we've never seen the president. I mean, he looked like death warmed over. It looked like he was just about to keel right over. And then they land in Delaware and the president comes down the stairs the same way. ABC News is reporting all of this live on the air, and they're saying, oh, my gosh, he's having trouble getting into the beast. So they literally had to, like, shove the president in to the waiting presidential limousine. It seemed to me to be a little overkill, like he was playing for the cameras, like he was making sure everybody knew that he was really, really sick. So anyway, now comes word that Nancy Pelosi has had the conversation with Joe that he's got to go. And Axios is reporting that it's going to happen sometime this weekend. Here's the thing. Look, I think he ought to stay in the race. I think, the voters decided he's their guy, no matter how feeble-minded he is, and that's the way it ought to be. But in reality, the Democrats have a much bigger problem on their hands. Because if Joe Biden is not well enough to run for re-election, if he is not of sound mind to run for re-election and to run for a second term, how in the world are we supposed to keep this guy around to finish out his first term in office? So it's not a matter of leaving the presidential race. It's a matter of whether or not he needs to just pack it in and turn the keys over to Kamala Harris. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. If you want to weigh in on that, that's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show.
They're Trump's most diehard fans in the front row at every Trump rally.
You had to love the United States of America. You had to support Mr. Donald Trump's re-election.
Trump's Front Row Joes is the new two-part documentary offering the first inside look at the men and women standing shoulder to shoulder with Trump in the greatest political movement in American history.
The kind of basis for all the rallies. There's like dead fans.
Like-minded people following their hero all around the country, exhausting their bank accounts, camping out for days in the freezing cold and scorching heat to support Trump's re-election and make America great again.
The Front Row Joes are very successful, incredible people.
Trump's Front Row Joes, from executive producer Sean Spicer, former White House press secretary and communications director for President Donald J. Trump.
Friendships I've made over the years as a Front Row Joe, it's probably the best part of it.
Don't miss Trump's Front Row Joes. Watch it now. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
So folks, I am now leaning to something sinister going on within the Secret Service and within the federal government. And until the Secret Service comes out and proves otherwise, it certainly looks to me like there was an intentional effort to either allow Trump to be taken out, or they stood down and did nothing. That's where I'm at right now. And I say that because if it was, in fact, gross incompetence, just off the charts, the worst in American history, if I were the Secret Service director, I would be opening up everything, all the doors, all the books, all the phone logs, everything. And I would be welcoming and inviting all of the senators in to have those conversations and to say, hey, look, here it is. Here's where it all went wrong. But they're not doing that. They're closing ranks. They're refusing to answer questions. And these are very simple questions here. Breitbart put together a terrific timeline as well. And all of this started just after 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon when the assassin landed on security's radar because the magnometer that you all have to walk through picked up his rangefinder. And that's the device that sort of looks like binoculars, and you can use it if you play golf, if you are also an assassin. Around 5 o'clock, so for hours, this guy was able to wander around, and we've all seen the videos of this guy just wandering, pacing back and forth in front of the American Glass Research Building. And around 5 o'clock, that's when security spotted the guy again. At 5:45, local police spotted the assassin scoping out the roof near the rally and called in his presence on a system-wide channel that the Secret Service is supposed to be listening to. 6 minutes later, the Secret Service spotted the assassin. That was at 5:51 p.m. 2 minutes later, the assassin is confirmed as a threat. So this is the point where you need to pay attention. So by that point, Trump was not on the stage. Trump never walked onto the stage until 6:02. So if the Secret Service knew about it at 5:51, why did they not stop the president from getting on that stage? Why not just delay the president until they could check out whatever was on that roof? At 6 p.m., and I want to read this to you, the officer sees Crooks, that's Thomas Crooks, the shooter, return to the building with a backpack. He issues more warnings to command. Crooks sits down, begins looking at his phone. Then Crooks is seen pulling out his rangefinder to gauge the distance between where he was and Trump's podium. And the officer is reporting all of this in real time. 2 minutes later, Trump walks out onto the stage. They could have prevented all of this, but they did not. So why did the Secret Service allow Trump to be shot. Why? By the way, there's been a lot of scuttlebutt about, by the way, 6-11. So the shooting happened at 6-11. So they've known all of this is going down. And for almost 20 minutes, they stood down and did nothing. By the way, the Secret Service director says, oh, well, the roof was pitched and it was too dangerous. We all know that. We all know that is simply not true. That is a lie. So the Secret Service director is lying. She is lying to the American people, lying to lawmakers. That's what's going on here. And that's why I believe that we need to immediately find out whether or not this was something more nefarious than gross incompetence. But until they can come up and prove otherwise, I think we have to accept the fact that it is a very real possibility that somebody literally wanted to take Trump out. Now, I want to share this with you from John Nolte's column at Breitbart. And he said, and he's writing this, it's either unforgivable negligence on the part of the Secret Service that demands mass firings and a top-to-bottom house cleaning that only ends with the resignation of Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, and I do not say this lightly, it is something sinister coming from an administration that is already trying to keep Trump off the ballot, imprison him for life, bankrupt him, raided his home, arrested him, and told America he is the next Hitler, a dictator, and a unique threat to democracy. And how are we to believe anything coming from the same federal security apparatus that lied to us for years about Trump colluding with Russia, that blatantly lied to us about Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation? These are all very valid questions. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let's go to North Carolina. Bill on the line. Hi, Bill. What say you?
Todd, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm just sort of, I'm getting kind of emotional. For those of you that are familiar with Greek mythology, there was an entity that was called the Phoenix. The Phoenix was killed. And God bless, Donald Trump wasn't. But here's my analogy and my comparison. The Phoenix rose from the ashes. He emerged from a catastrophe stronger, smarter, renewed, and it symbolizes hope, life, and better things to come for this country, a renewal and a fresh start.
Bill, it's great imagery, and I appreciate you calling in. Thank you for that. Again, 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. But this is disturbing, ladies and gentlemen, very disturbing. And when you've got all of the major media reporting this nonsensical story coming out of the Secret Service, it makes no sense at all. I will say this, my thanks to Senator Marsha Blackburn. She and other senators literally confronted the Secret Service director at the RNC meeting in Milwaukee. And it's just a really remarkable. As a matter of fact, here's Senator Marsha Blackburn, cut number 8.
This is exactly what you were doing today.
This
on the
was
call.
An stonewalling attempt. You owe the people answers. You owe President Trump answers.
100 people left across this plaza. One in the far corner.
There you go. That's Senator Marsha Blackburn. There's a longer version of this, cut number 9.
I'm John Barrasso, chairman of the Senate Republican Conference. And Senator Blackburn and I just went face-to-face with the director of the Secret Service asking for specific answers about what happened with President Trump in Pennsylvania and how that shooter was able to get off a clear shot when the FBI and the Secret Service knew that there was a suspicious person an hour in advance of when the shooting occurred.
And they identified a potential threat at 5:51.
She would not answer our questions. She wanted to say it was not the time or place. This is after we've been through a conference call today where the question queue got cut off. But I've got a message for her. She can run, but she cannot hide, because the American people want to know how an assassination attempt was carried out on former President Donald Trump.
All right. Thank you. And again, that was Senator Marsha Blackburn and Senator John Barrasso giving a little blow by blow of what happened there. But I say good for these senators. And the reason why, by the way, people are like, how dare they? Who do they think they are, chasing down the Secret Service? The reason why they did that is because they refused to let the senators ask questions during the briefing earlier in the day. So the senators are out there demanding answers, which they deserve to get. And now you've got the Biden administration stonewalling. They're refusing to allow the Secret Service director to answer questions. So my question to you is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Do you believe it's possible that the deep state of this government tried to take out Donald Trump over the weekend? 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. It's a terrible thing to think. But at this stage of the game, ladies and gentlemen, we have to consider all possibilities. And by the way, thank goodness that there are very tall, athletic men now surrounding and guarding President Trump. Unbelievable what's happening in this country right now. But this is what the Democrats have done. They have weaponized the government to take out their political enemies. And remember, there were Democrat operatives just months ago, and this video is circulating on social media on X, and there's video of, it was, I believe, Chuck Schumer warning Trump, and this is in an interview, is you don't want to be messing with the CIA. You don't want to be messing with the spooks, because they'll get you. And I think there may be some truth to that. I'm just saying. All right, we've got to take a break. Again, so much audio to talk about, so many stories coming out of the RNC. The Republicans have done an incredible job here. They are firing on all cylinders. They've got the big mo. The wind is at their back. Tonight, it's going to be probably the most watched moment in television history is tonight at the RNC as Donald Trump takes the stage. Folks, I don't need to tell you about our friends at Patriot Mobile, the great work they're doing. I mean, let's get real. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, and they're putting the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I am so proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage. They're giving you access to all three major networks. They have a huge presence at the RNC just this week. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, here's what's going to happen. You support Folds of Honor, Tunnel to Towers, Boots for Warriors, Helping a Hero, so many other great veteran organizations. Their customer service team, 100% based right here in America. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd or call 972-PATRIOT. You're going to get free activation using my offer code Todd. Again, that's free activation. Use my offer code Todd.
In a world where healthcare costs spiral out of control, ShareRight emerges as the beacon of hope, offering healthcare done the right way. We understand the struggle of balancing health and finances. That's why ShareRight fosters a community of support, where members share medical expenses and encourage one another. Picture saving 30 to 50% on your healthcare bills. With ShareRight, it's not just a dream, it's reality, but it's more than just savings. ShareRight grants you the access to the care you deserve, precisely when you need it. From routine checkups to unexpected emergencies, don't settle for outdated insurance. Join the ShareRight movement and experience healthcare done the right way. Visit joinshareright.org to learn more and see how much you can save. Visit joinshareright.org for healthcare done the right way. That's joinshareright.org. ShareRight is a program of IHS, one of the fastest growing healthcare sharing organizations in the country.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy to have you with us. Hang tight if you're on hold. Don't go anywhere. I want to go, though, to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line right now. Say hello to the great senator from Oklahoma, James Langford. Senator, good to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks.
Senator, I understand yesterday, I thought I saw your face in the back of that video as Marsha Blackburn and John Barrasso and others of your colleagues were trying to get answers from the Secret Service director. What sort of answers are you looking for, Senator?
So the answers we didn't get on the call earlier. We were all on the call with her about 3 hours before. They came on, gave a very quick briefing, and then took five questions and said, okay, we're done. We're not taking more questions. And so when we found out that she was in the arena, we went and found our way. It was myself, Marsha Blackburn, Kevin Cramer, and John Barrasso, and went to her and her suite there in the arena and said, we have a lot more questions for you, starting with 25 minutes or so before the president was shot, before he even took the stage. They identified a person in that outer perimeter that was a threat that they were concerned about, that they had seen that was holding a rangefinder in that area, and they were looking for him. They lost track of him. They were looking for him. The Secret Service didn't stop the event. They just said, we'll just keep looking for him while the president's on stage. Why would they do that? They could have just told the president, hey, let's stall for another 5 minutes. Let's see if we can find this person to see if he's actually a threat, rather than just let him go on stage and then while they keep looking for a threat. So there's a lot of very practical questions here of decisions that were made and that were obviously need to be different in that. So we were asking her those things point blank. She wouldn't answer anything. So I asked her, listen, I serve on the Homeland Security Committee. We've not got an answer back. Whether you're coming in front of our committee next week, we need an answer on that. And that's when she said, this is the wrong venue to discuss this. I'm leaving, and walked out the door.
Senator, do you guys even have a head count of how many people were injured? They told us it was too critical, but that doesn't include Congressman Ronnie Jackson's nephew. We understand at least two police officers. We can't even get that basic information right now.
No, we've not gotten basic information. Things like the stories coming out about the shooter's parents were calling into police and saying, hey, that we've got a concern. How did the shooter get onto the rooftop? We weren't able to get an answer to that. There's a whole series of issues that we're just asking very basic questions, saying these are practical. These are not trick questions. These are things that need to be able to come out. And it really does two things. One, it gives the American people and all of us oversight to be able to know what mistakes were made so we can change this in the future. And the second one is it stops the conspiracy theories that are out there. When there's a lack of information, somebody's going to fill the void. We're just trying to be able to guess, and that spreads everywhere on social media. Let's actually get accurate information out there, and then let's hold people to account. Clearly, there are people that need to be held to account in this, and that should start immediately, and it should start at the top.
And, Senator, we're 5 days out from the shooting now, and we haven't gotten that information. And, you can call it conspiracy, but are there concerns that there could be something more nefarious here at play?
Right now, the best thing that we can do is get the accurate information out as fast as we can. Maximum amount of transparency helps dispel all that. But people do fill in the gaps when they can't get accurate information.
No doubt about
things
that.
Things that are false. And as I remind people all the time, not everything on social media is accurate. So don't, just because somebody posted and reposted on social media, doesn't mean it's true. But we do need to get what's true out there to be able to dispel what's false. But in the meantime, everybody's just going to have to guess, and that's not a good place for us to be, especially right now, especially when people are so incredibly angry that this was that they just missed it. And we were literally an inch away from the entire country being dramatically different. And for the family of this brave firefighter that was actually murdered at that event, his whole family is devastated forever, and we still don't know all these that are still seriously injured. Mm-hmm.
Well, Senator, real quick before we let you go, and our time is quickly expiring here, but the RNC has put on one of the best, I think, conventions, at least that I've been to, and I've been going to these for a very long time. Incredibly powerful night. What do you hope to hear tonight from President Trump?
Well, we're all kind of waiting for this because President Trump's statement that he's rewriting his entire speech. And he's going to do this different than what he's done before. President Trump, when he speaks anytime, everyone is always interested to hear him speak because you never know what he's going to say. But even more so tonight that we don't know what's going to come out. I know he's going to talk about the border. I know he's going to talk about the economy. I know he's going to talk about crime. Those are basics of things. That's not about disunity in the country. That's about trying to be able to pull us back to be able to, as he always says, to be able to make America great again. Those are basic themes, and they're not divisive. They're just factual. we're waiting to be able to hear what this is he's going to talk about. We're trying to be able to pull the country together.
What?
It is interesting to me. I have to tell you, it's interesting to me that it's, when the shooting occurred on it, before we knew motive, anything else, people on all over the country and all over my great state of Oklahoma were saying, okay, we need to bring the political rhetoric down before we even knew the motivation. So I think the country is in a spot that we want less anger and less hatred being voiced out in our political rhetoric, but we also want the problem solved. People are mad because there's rising crime, because of the economy, because of all the open borders. People want that to stop. But pulling the rhetoric down and actually pulling the answers up is a good thing.
Well, Senator, we got to leave it there, and we appreciate your great work. I got a good laugh because you're a pretty sober-minded guy. When I saw you in that crowd, I'm like, is that James Langford? All right, go Senator Langford. All right, we got to get out of here. Senator, God bless you, and we look forward to watching tonight.
Bless you as well. Thanks. Keep praying.
All right, Senator James Langford. All right, hang tight, everybody. We've got to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere if you're on hold. I see you, and we're going to get to your calls next. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Did you know that oil, coal, and natural gas are not the climate villains that the legacy media asks us to believe that they are? Did you know that 8 billion people will eat just today because fossil fuels ran the sophisticated machinery that produced all the food necessary to do so? Or how they power the complex heating and cooling systems to keep people alive through extreme temperatures? What would you do without AC or heat? Fossil fuels have literally been the hero in the prevention of billions of deaths and the extension of life. I'm Kevin McCullough, and I want you to know the facts. Please go to oilfacts.com and get educated today on these critical facts, the need for American energy, and what we can do to keep billions more catastrophic deaths from happening. These facts are irrefutable. Oilfacts.com. That's oilfacts.com. These facts are brought to you by Prairie Operating Group, dedicated to safe and responsible production of American energy.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us. You just heard from Senator James Langford, part of the posse that was running down the Secret Service director there at the RNC. We're going to talk to another member of that posse coming up, Senator Kevin Cramer from North Dakota. He was there as well. We're going to get his insight. Real quick, before we go to Robin Poffman, I want to go to the phone lines. Willie from Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, had a couple of questions about the shooting over the weekend. Willie, good to have you with us today.
Yeah, it's good to be on. I totally agree with you. A blind 5-year-old could have figured this out. You know, once they found the rangefinder, you know, and then they had everything was on the radar, they knew that there was a problem with the guy. But I'm still trying to figure out how do you know, when did he sneak the gun in and the ladder? None of it makes any sense. Just unbelievable.
Willie, as we heard from Senator Langford, he said that senators were only allowed to ask a total of 5 questions and then they were shut down. But I'm with you. Now, I can answer the latter question. He did go and purchase a ladder at the Home Depot. It was a 5-foot ladder. That ladder was not brought in. So he accessed the roof some other way. There were ladders already there. We don't know if that's how he got in or if he climbed up some sort of an air conditioning duct. We don't know the answer to that. We also don't know the answer, and this is to your point, how did the rifle get in past the security perimeter? Was it something that had been pre-placed there, pre-positioned? We don't know because the Secret Service isn't saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to, obviously we're not getting any information from the government. It's all going to come from, people's video with a cell phone and that's how we're going to find out our information.
Right. And I understand Senator Langford, and he's right, conspiracy theories abound on social media, and he says we shouldn't be paying attention to that. But you're 5 days out from an attempted assassination, and the government's not giving even senators who deserve to know that information. They're not even giving the senators that information. That tells me something's up.
Yeah, well, the video on people's cell phones, that doesn't lie. So, you know, I mean, they'd have to be masked. Video editing and all that sort of stuff, and that's not happening. You know, it's that's, you know, thank goodness for, you know, today's technology compared to years ago, because I think that's the only way we're going to find out the correct information.
Willie, I am afraid you're right there, and I sure do appreciate you listening to KWAM, and thank you for calling in today. Let's go to Robin Poffman, standing by on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Robin, real quick, before we talk about Joe Biden, I'm curious to get your take on the lack of information coming out of the Secret Service and their refusal to tell U.S. senators any information.
I mean, this is a huge cover-up. Absolutely a huge cover-up. We're never going to get the answers. I want to know what's in. Apparently, this 20-year-old assassin had two cell phones.
Yeah,
I'd like to see a printout of what's on both of them and who he was in touch with. This 20-year-old did not act alone.
I think that's becoming very clear, Robin, and that's the concern I have, is who else was involved here.
Yeah, it's very suspicious to me. There's one of the local stations in Pittsburgh that had some raw video out there. You know how, like, the cameramen are rolling, you know, just, you know, some random B-roll, as it's called, and you see the assassin, you see this kid kind of roaming around over by, like, a fenced area, and he's, like, casing the joint. That's the only way you can describe it. And I guess the key question to all of this is, how do you allow the former president of the United States on that stage? Why didn't they hold him somewhere else, in a car, in another room, in a green room, wherever? Why wasn't he in a holding room until they neutralized the threat and figured out who this was? I mean, this is a setup. I mean, this, there's so many questions to this. Listen, we don't have answers to what happened out in Vegas when there was a shooter shooting out one of the hotel windows at that concert years ago. The country music concert, we still don't know what his motive was. I am not optimistic that until we have a Trump administration that we're going to get to the bottom of this. But I have to tell you, good for Senator Barrasso and Marsha Blackburn for going after this woman, the Secret Service woman, in one of the, what do you call that, the suites. There was some sort of event going on in a suite for Secret Service and other law enforcement agencies that were protecting those at the convention last night. And they walked right in and, you know, had very detailed questions for her, of which she answered none of them, not one question.
Robin Poffman on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. And Robin, as you and I are talking, the final list for tonight's finale at the RNC coming out. I'm going to run down these names. I just want to get your reaction here. Among the speakers, Dana White, president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, UFC, Tucker Carlson, Eric Trump, Franklin Graham, Hulk Hogan, and Mike Pompeo. And we're told that 50 Cent might even make an appearance.
Woo-hoo-hoo! I have to tell you that I wish I was there. I was there in 2016 on the floor when he accepted the nomination and all the red, white, and blue balloons dropped. It's an amazing moment. That's an amazing lineup. And it all speaks to one word, strength. And Dana White and Hulk Hogan, clearly, and Franklin Graham are all going to talk about the character of Donald J. Trump, and then being introduced by his son, I think is a beautiful thing. I was very moved and very touched last night by the words of Don Jr. and the oldest grandchild, Kai. I don't know if you saw it in its entirety unedited, but she was phenomenal. Just a granddaughter speaking about her grandpa, and I thought it was just awesome.
It was, I watched it from beginning to end, and Robin, it was just incredible. And I thought she did a terrific job just humanizing President Trump and pushing back against that mainstream media narrative. Even the folks on CNN, I was watching CNN just for their coverage, and I think they are just, I think they're in shock right now because they realize what's about to happen, and there's nothing they can do, nothing they can say to stop it.
Well, you know what it is? That 17-year-old, the oldest granddaughter, Kai, she's so relatable because people who are about to vote, you know, people of age that are coming of age that will be voting in this election for the first time, and parents and grandparents can relate to her. Oh, yeah, my grandpa, my grandma used to give me soda and candy when my parents weren't looking, right? How many people listening to us right now? I can think of my grandparents doing the same thing. Oh, yeah, you know, that's why they're grandparents. They're good to you when you know, really good to you when your mom and dad aren't looking. And I thought it was such a relatable moment. And I think that the RNC has done such a great job to make us see Donald Trump the man and not this creation that the mainstream media has made of him. It's been absolutely phenomenal. One of the tightest run conventions. I've been going to conventions since 1992, and this is one of the tightest ships I've ever seen run ever.
I want to play some audio. This is from Scott Jennings. He's the conservative on the panel at CNN. Let's see here. Cut number 21, please.
I've been to a lot of conventions. I've never seen anything this politically devastating done at a convention. I mean, they have proven to the American people that the commander-in-chief failed these families. If I were Joe Biden and I saw that tonight, I would resign my office, go outside, dig a hole, get in it, and not come out for a while.
You know, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, he was talking about the Gold Star families. Robin, I don't think there was a dry eye in America as those names were being uttered last night.
There wasn't, and I'm going to take you to a personal moment where I was at a Tunnel to Towers event in New York right after that happened, where we lost these 13 beautiful members of the U.S. military in Afghanistan at the Abbey Gate, and the Tunnel to Towers Foundation, right when this happened. I'm talking about within weeks of them being killed in Afghanistan, paid off the mortgages of the 13. And I remember thinking at the time, being with my husband at the event in New York, it was an event for something else, but this took place there, Todd. And I remember thinking that the media, you know, nobody's doing anything about this. The president of the United States not saying a word, not calling these families. And here an outside charity is doing so much for these people. And it's interesting that I have heard reports. I have some friends that are there in Milwaukee that have told me that former President Trump met with those family members yesterday. I heard it went on for hours, and it was like the first time that anyone in an official or non-official capacity comforted them all these years later. It makes you sick to your stomach. And also, what about the families of the hostages that are still being held by Hamas terrorists? What's being done about this? Nothing. We have no one in charge, Todd. It is the scariest thing to me as Biden recovers allegedly from the coronavirus is back. He's at his beach house in Rehoboth, Delaware. Todd, who's running the government?
It's a great question. And to that point, BET, God love them, they refused to edit President Biden's interview. And it's just devastating. Here's the moment when he can't remember his defense secretary's name. His name is Lloyd Austin, but Biden couldn't remember his name, and he called him the black man. Cut number 23.
And so it's all about treating people with dignity. And it's about making sure that, look, I mean, for example, look at the heat I'm getting because I named the secretary of defense the black man. I named Ketanji Brown. I mean, because of the people I've named.
And then he goes, he says, it's Ketanji Brown Jackson. No, that's the Supreme Court Justice, and she's a woman, Mr. President.
It's terrible. He thinks the head of the Secret Service is a man, too. I mean, listen, it's sad. He's got dementia. This is not that, you know, someone needs to say, sir, this is not the job for you. It's a very simple sentence. You know what I'm saying? And I think that the Democrats are in a free fall. To your point, you know, a few sentences ago, Todd, I will tell you that I, too, was watching CNN and MSNBC, and the faces of Dana Bash and what's his name? the son of the famous guy from 60 Minutes.
Chris Wallace.
Thank you very much. Chris Wallace, son of Mike. By the way, he will never be his father. But Chris Wallace and Dana Bash, and you see the gloom and the doom, the funeral faces of these folks. You know that they cannot compete with the show that the RNC put on. There is no way. They have no sizzle. They have no razzle dazzle. There's nothing. There's no rabbit trick that they're going to be able to pull off at the DNC convention. It's going to be another one of these video extravaganzas from the basement.
If they make it that far, and again, Axios is reporting that it could be over as early as this weekend. But Robin, to your point, if he has to pull off because he's not competent to do a second term, how can they possibly let him finish his first term in office? I mean, this is a sticky wicket for the Democrats.
Yeah, it is. And you're going to see Kamala Harris, who I believe is speaking today in North Carolina, if memory serves. My memory, Todd, is still intact. But if my memory serves, she's in North Carolina today speaking. And that, wow, I mean, what do you say about her? The cackle, the laughing, the hee-hee-hee-hee. I mean, I've never heard an intelligent sentence, a coherent sentence coming out of this person's mouth, like ever. Can you ever think of her in the Senate? When you lived in California for some time during your career, I mean, think about it. Have you ever heard anything coherent? A one coherent sentence can you point to coming out of her mouth?
It's a fair point. Robin, we gotta leave it there. Real quick though, the rumblings are Maryland Governor Wes Moore and possibly Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer as the new Democrat ticket. If Biden does bow out, they're not going to stick with Kamala. They're just going to blow everything up. Of course, Wes Moore has a Barack Obama-style story. You think that's going to have any effect at all?
I think Wes Moore has been a great governor in Maryland, and he certainly shined during this whole problem with the ship. I think that he can definitely, he's a much better pick than Kamala Harris. Gretchen Whitmer is a huge issue. She's out of it.
Mm. All right. We got to leave it there. Robin, great intel as well. Breaking news all over the place today, folks. And this is the place to hang out to get it all. Robin, got to run. Good hearing from you. All right, folks, got to take a quick break here. Your calls coming up, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
To let me know, should I stay or should I go?
So, and that's what President Biden's trying to figure out right now. Should he stay or should he go? We will soon see. Welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, I'm just dumbfounded here. I can't believe I got snookered. I got snookered, ladies and gentlemen. So I was watching BSNBC. Their coverage last night, and I thought, wow, I wonder what those interactions are like when Joyless Reid and who's that guy, Rachel Maddow, when they're actually, you know, leaving the studio and going back to their hotels. I was just kind of curious because they've been bulldogging Jake Tapper and Dana Bash and all those folks. Anyway, the New York Post is now reporting that BSNBC is not even there. They're using a massive LED screen to superimpose the live shots of the RNC while they broadcast from their studio in New York City. So Rachel Maddow and Joyless Reid, all those people are nowhere near Milwaukee. They're actually broadcasting from New York City. So at least CNN had the courage to send their people down there. All right. Real quick, let's go to the phone lines here. Randy in Oregon, KYKN. Hey, Randy, what's going on?
Hey there, Tom. Hey, just let you know, I got my tickets for your book signing event, so I'm looking forward to meeting you.
We're excited about that. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Yeah, me too. I'm about 70 pages into your book, working 11, 12 hours a day. I don't have much time for reading. But hey, what I wanted to compare was the attempted assassination of Trump versus the assassination of John F. Kennedy. When you look at where Trump is standing on top of the platform, he's looking straight ahead. That's his 12 o'clock. Behind him is a 6 o'clock. To his right is a 3 o'clock. And to his left is 9 o'clock. Well, when the attempt assassination of Trump, where that shooter came from, it made me think about the shooter on the grassy knoll on the Kennedy assassination. Well, what people don't realize is there might have been a shot of Kingston there, but the one that actually got Kennedy, I honestly believe it's at 1 o'clock, and that was down in the slung sewer drain.
Well, and Randy, the computer's going to cut us off here. So you're suggesting maybe there could have been a second shooter, and there are concerns about that. Folks, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, you know who I feel bad for here? I feel bad for the folks at the Mexican restaurant. The family out for a delicious meal. They're eating their chips and salsa. They're slurping their Baptist martinis. And they're minding their own business, and along comes President Super Spreader. He's going over, bending down, sniffing the kids, and shaking hands and whatnot. And the next thing you know, he's been diagnosed with the China virus. What about the thoughts and prayers for the family there in the Mexican restaurant? By the way, somebody pointed out, why isn't he wearing a mask? The guy comes down with a raging case of the Rona, and he's not even masking up. Jeez, Lou. All right, let's go to the phone lines here, 901-260-5926. Say hello to Janet in Georgia. Hi, Janet. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. I'd just like to make a couple of points. It's very suspicious that there was millions in short sales one day prior to the attempted assassination, and this was done by Austin Private Wealth, which the majority of that is held by George Soros, Vanguard, and BlackRock. You don't short sell unless you anticipate a massive drop in that stock. And if they had been successful with this assassination, they would have made mega millions off of selling those stocks short if Trump hadn't assassinated. Also, 3 hours before Trump took the stage, the gunman had a rangefinder. They saw that. The police even took photos of him. 10 minutes before Trump took the stage, the snipers behind Trump, the police snipers, they spotted the guy positioned himself on the rooftop. And then you have the spectators. Let me say something else. That building was actually purchased months ago by an outside group, and you have to do the deep dive research. It's changed names, but the people that actually bought it, they're big-time anti-Trumpers. So there is so many things out there, and it's not conspiracy. This is hardcore facts that anybody can go and research.
Well, yeah, look, some of that is accurate. Other parts of it are still under investigation, and there's just so much stuff floating around. For example, we were told yesterday by some of these same rock solid sources, Janet, that the guy lugged a 12-foot long ladder a mile and then, you know, got the ladder through the security, and that turned out not to be accurate at all. So, you know, we're just being careful here with the information. I'm not saying your information is wrong. I'm just, I want to be careful before we get out there in front of this and say this is exactly what happened. But I've heard those concerns, and the stock market thing is really eye-opening. And by the way, I don't believe in coincidences, but one of the parties involved in this who would have profited was, in fact, BlackRock. And, of course, the shooter, Thomas Crooks, Janet, was actually a part of a 2022 promotional video about BlackRock. And I don't believe in coincidences.
When I saw that video where he, in 2022, where I mean, I've gone back and looked at it, you're exactly right. But also the secured perimeter. I mean, if you look at the round circle that was secured, that building was in an inverted V. It was not secured. But then you've got that water tower that had a direct line of view to President Trump also. And people said they saw someone at or around that water tower. So there is a lot of things that doesn't add up. And then the fact that, you know, they don't want to give answer questions to the committee. And it's just too suspicious. And I agree with you. It's, there's not much that occurs coincidentally. I mean, this is, there's too many unanswered questions. And for people that are professional, and I mean, even if you go back and look when Trump was shot, if you look at the snipers above his head, the police snipers, they were looking directly in the.
Yeah. And let me jump in here, Janet, because we have a, your phone connection is getting just progressively worse here, but I think we got the gist of what you were saying. And yeah, by the way, there were multiple sniper teams, local as well as federal. They're telling us the federal guys were the ones that took out the shooter. I don't know what to believe. I just don't know what to believe. I don't believe anything coming out of our government. I'd rather believe local law enforcement than what's coming out of the federal government right now. By the way, there is some pretty big news coming out about Newsmax, and I hope you're watching our coverage, which has been pretty spectacular. You can, our pre-show coverage starts at 5 o'clock Eastern, with my program. Newsmax, now one of the top news brands in America, and Newsmax, of course, announcing plans. It's going to go public later this year. You have a chance to become an actual owner of Newsmax, and you can actually purchase preferred shares pre-IPO. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. If you want to get information, find out if you are eligible. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. And folks, I want to encourage you to take a long, hard look at it, because Newsmax is leading a news revolution. And I think you're going to want to be a part of that. So, again, consult with your attorney or financial advisor. And remember that investors are responsible for conducting their own due diligence. For tax and all that other kind of stuff. So check with your financial guys or gals. And, of course, you can get more information right now at NewsmaxInvest.com. All right, I want to go back to yesterday and play some video or some audio, rather. This is Vivek Ramaswamy. So Ramaswamy is out there, and he's leading the charge on this all-new populist Republican Party, cut number 29.
This is the Republican platform right now. Is the Republican platform as it exists today at this convention is not opposed to gay marriage.
No.
She points to abortion, women and their bodies. Literally, this has said it is a not a federal issue. Donald Trump, to myself, when I ran for president, to now the Republican Party, opposes a federal ban on abortion. So part of their strategy now, Megan, seems to be there's only 4 months left on the election, until the election. Just tell the voters something other than the Republican policies, because the actual Republican policy platform is quite appealing to most Americans. So we can't compete on that. Just assume for the next 4 months we can tell them that the Republican platform is something that is other than what it actually is, and maybe most voters won't notice. And it might be their best bet, actually. If you think about it, winning on the merits in this short of a time with the numbers looking like what they are, instead, people get their news from different places. Just bet on the fact that enough Americans are going to think that Republicans support a federal ban. Kamala Harris and Joe Biden have both said Donald Trump would sign a federal ban. That's false. In fact, he's taken heat from Republicans.
Yes.
For saying that he's opposed to a federal ban.
That's right.
But their strategy now seems to be less on the merits and even less on the histrionics. It's one of the forks in the road for Biden, which I can come back to in a second. But their remaining strategy is just lie about what the Republicans actually believe and then just hope the voters don't notice between now and November.
Okay, so let me explain what's going on here. And there has, and we've, this has been playing out on this radio program exclusively for the past couple of weeks now, where we first alerted you that there were going to be changes made to the Republican Party platform. And that Republican leadership was going to play hardball. And the people that were being targeted were evangelical Christians. So I want to explain why this went down the way it did and where I stand on it. Because right now, both sides need to go to the woodshed over this. It's really, it's bad. And my concern is, and hear me, if in fact the governor of Maryland, West Moore, who has an incredible life story, a military veteran, a very popular Democrat in his state, if he is leading some sort of a new ticket, this could get very interesting in the fall. So the Republicans, regardless, need every vote. We can't tell the evangelical Christians that you're out of the tent now. But that's what just happened. And Ramaswamy is actually being honest about it, and I appreciate that. I appreciate Charles Moran of Log Cabin Republicans being honest with it and saying this was a massive defeat for Christians. And that now the Republican Party is pro LGBT marriage. They are also I'm going to be generous here and just say they're now neutral on the issue of abortion. There are many evangelicals who now believe they are, in fact, pro-choice. And that may be down the road, that may be become the reality. But right now, I would say they're now neutral on the abortion issue. And the reason why they're going neutral on abortion and they're now supporting gay marriage is because they believe that will bring new voters to the party. But the question is, will the Christian voters walk out of the party now? Will they? Those are two major issues. So it's a fair question to ask. And I think that Republican leadership has made the political calculation already that all of you Christians out there don't really, those issues don't really matter as much as you think they do. And they think you're still going to vote for the Republican Party regardless. Even if the party goes pro-abortion, they think you will still stay with them. That's the political calculation that was made. Now, there is another component of this. For years, really for decades, the Christians, the evangelical Christians, have been telling the Republican Party, we need you to defend our issues. We need you to be out there, and we need you to defend traditional marriage. We need you to be pro-life. They have a laundry list of things. And for the longest time, the Republicans have sort of kind of, you know, at least agreed to it, but it really wasn't until Trump came along that he actually got some things done, right? George W. Bush just paid lip service to the evangelicals, as did his father. And so Reagan and Trump were probably the most pro-Christian presidents as far as policy and platform that we've had. So anyway, the Republicans have been saying for decades, we need you to do all of these things. And the Republicans have done it. But then when the Republicans come to the Christians and they say, hey, we want to be able to put voter guides in your churches. We want to be able to come and speak to your people. Whoa, Nelly, can't do that. Oh, this is the church house. We can't be talking about politics in the church house. Now, if you're somebody like a Donald Trump who never goes to church or rarely goes to church, and that's not a part of your thing, then you're going to step back for a second and you're going to think. And again, President Trump is very transactional here. He's thinking, wait a second. You guys came to me. I delivered. And now you're turning your back on me because what? You're calling me all these names. And by the way, they are. And when you see somebody like a Russ Moore going out there and attacking Donald Trump and he's labeled as an evangelical leader, Donald Trump doesn't know Russ Moore, except that, you know, for whatever he's spewing over Christianity Today, a far leftist rag. So what I'm saying here is that everybody needs to think long and hard about next steps here. And the Christians need to come to terms with this. You have lost, at least right now, you have lost we have lost the culture war within the Republican Party. and it was a crushing defeat. And I saw this coming as soon as the pro-lifers went out there, and we now realize the pro-life community had no plan for post-Roe v. Wade. None whatsoever. They're just winging it now. And they are getting their butts handed to them. That's just the reality of it. And we've seen it happen, what, 7 times at the ballot box. So now, if you're a Republican Party leader and you're all about winning, and again, the Republican Party is not a church, it's not a religious organization, but the Republican Party is about winning political races. And if they see 7 times that abortion's on the ballot box and 7 times that abortion has gone down, the pro-life side has gone down in a crushing defeat, and they see that Christian churches are not even allowing conservative candidates to come in and talk to parishioners or congregations, Republican leadership, in their estimation, they did the right thing. Because when you look at, and hear me on this, when you look at what's happening in with some of these big religious liberty gatherings, there are more people showing up at log cabin Republican events than there are at some of these evangelical gatherings. Just throwing that out there. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right. Really excited, folks. Burgers and books. What a great combo. That's going to be happening in Salem, Oregon. And we're really excited about it. This is happening on August the 7th. It's going to be a great afternoon. I'm going to be doing the national radio show live from Salem. And then we're doing a big burger and book events over at Bow and Vine Burger Bar. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And if you'd like to get information on tickets, all you have to do is go to the KYKN website. That's KYKN.com, I believe. KYKN.com. All right, we're going to get the website address for you. But just go to the KYKN website. And you'll be able to get all of that information. All right, let's go to the phones here. Jackie in Salem, Oregon. Hi, Jackie. Hope you're doing well today.
How are you?
What's on your mind?
I just want to say, and I'm a conservative, ex-Democrat, Christian who has loved the Lord almost all of my life, and with the abortion issue, I say drop it. And replace it with the current socialist no-healing health system that we're dealing with. And, you know, they're killing people. I told my doctor I feel like I'm being murdered with this system that's going on now. And it's like impossible to get an appointment before you're dead, you know. And it's impossible to get healing because the DOJ controls the doctors. Not medicine. It's the Department of Justice.
So you don't think that? So I want to. Yeah, I don't want to get too far into the weeds here. I want to kind of stay on topic. But you don't believe that the abortion issue should be an issue for the Republicans in the fall?
Not at all. I think we need to replace the current medical system.
Okay. All right. Got it. All right. Well, Jackie, appreciate the call. Thank you for listening. Look, I see both sides of this, and the Republicans are saying this: if we make that our issue going into the fall, we're going to lose. And the Christians are saying lose. That's what they're saying. And so we're at a point now where the Christians want to have all of the glory surrounding the power of controlling the Republican Party. But then when the Republican Party needs something, it's like the relationship stops. And you can't have it both ways, people. You really can't. So anyway, we'll see how it's going to work out here. I do believe, though, along with Jackie, and I know she had another issue that she was concerned about, but I want to try to stay focused here. The issue facing many voters when they go to the poll, I would say 99.9% of voters, when they're going to the poll, they're not casting their ballots based on gay marriage or abortion. They're casting their ballots because of the economy, because of what's happening with their pocketbook. And if you remember months ago when the original exit polling data was coming out, everybody said, oh, it's the border security. That's our biggest. No. And I was telling you at the time, I don't think that's it. That may be what they're telling the pollsters. But at the end of the day, it's always going to be the economy. It's always going to be what's impacting your wallet, your pocketbook. KYKN.com. I had it right. Why did I doubt myself? KYKN.com. And you'll be able to sign up and get your tickets for the Twilight's Last Gleaming book signing, Books and Burgers. And if you don't want a book, at least come for the burger. It's going to be a lot of fun. Limited tickets, so you're going to want to get those right away, you folks in Salem, Oregon. KYKN.com. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a break. More, including Senator Kramer from North Dakota, coming up next. We'll be right back.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with us. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 3 of the Big Show. Tonight, by the way, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the Todd Starnes Show pre-RNC program. Again, that starts at 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Real quick, before we go to our guest, I want to play one of my favorite moments from last night's incredible RNC gathering. This was the moment the UNC frat guys, the guys who defended the American flag on campus, they were introduced to the crowd. Cut number 20.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the fraternity brothers from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who protected our American flag.
When a mob tried to take down the American flag on our campus, we knew we couldn't let that happen. We stood guard, we held it up, and we did not let it fall. It was all about respect, not just for the cloth, but for everything that the flag stands for. Too many people have sacrificed everything for it. The least we can do was keep it flying. And tonight, we are proud to honor our flag again.
All right, there you go. One of the fraternity brothers there, all decked out in blue blazers and khaki pants like good Republicans. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile newsmaker line. We're always honored to have Kevin. What are you laughing at, Senator? You know it's true.
I'm laughing to prevent myself from crying. It's so awesome. That moment is so awesome. And one of many of them, by the way. But really, really cool.
Senator Kevin Kramer with us from North Dakota. And Senator, I'm from Tennessee, so Marsha Blackburn is my senator. And I was just so excited. I was cheering you guys on as you were chasing down the Secret Service director last night.
Yeah. Well, you know, Marsha, I hang out with Marsha to sort of temper her a little bit, you know, because she's very excited. And so I was there to be the calmer person, and I about lost my mind. First of all, Marsha's a warrior's warrior. And so for me to go into that conversation, we thought was going to be a conversation with the Secret Service director to get, you know, to ask her the questions that we weren't allowed to ask her during the briefing. I mean, having her walk right into a suite near where we were was such a gift. Without good, we can get the answers now. This should be no problem. And lo and behold, not only did she not give answers, she ran like a puppy away from us because she didn't want to have to talk to United States senators. It was almost like she'd never seen United States senators before that would have hard questions for her. Actually, not hard, very easy questions. She just made it much more difficult. But anyway, it was disappointing to say the least. I think Marsha probably articulates as well as anybody. We really thought we were following her out of that suite to go with her someplace to have a more private discussion. because she insisted that we couldn't talk about it in that suite. And lo and behold, she wasn't taking us anywhere. She was just trying to flee from us.
Wow. It's the video, and folks, we have it up at toddstearns.com, and of course, Senator John Barrasso, and we had Senator James Langford on earlier, and I've known him for years. And when I was watching that video, I'm like, wait a second, is that James Langford? Because, you know, he's kind of like quieter, you know. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, I know exactly. He's pastoral.
Well, there was a come to Jesus meeting happening last night. I'll tell you that much, Senator. I want to get your reaction. This is just coming out from our good friend Jim Jordan over on the House side. He says whistleblowers reveal Secret Service was understaffed at Trump rally because the agency was covering the NATO summit in D.C. He says Americans deserve answers. And that's really the whole point of all of this, Senator. We're not getting any answers.
Todd, that is the biggest problem. In fact, at yesterday's briefing on the phone, it was a Democratic senator that implored both the FBI director and Kimberly Cheadle from Secret Service, please be forthcoming with information and make it fast. In other words, continue to update the public on a regular basis, because what's at stake is the credibility of the agency and the trust of the American people. And you can never regain that trust, or at least it's much harder to regain that trust if you're not transparent. That's all we were doing. It was disrespectful, not just to four senators. It was disrespectful to everyone we work for, everyone we represent, and everyone in this country who wants to believe the best about our police. And they should, because they are largely the best. But when leadership fails this badly, you have to be forthcoming with information if you're going to restore any confidence at all. And at the very least, resign, have some integrity, and resign as a result of your failure. But we got none of that, and that's what's so disappointing. It's just the cover-up that's always the worst.
Senator, can we rule out at this point, because the other issue is either gross incompetence or there was something more nefarious going on. I mean, it's kind of one or the other here. Can we rule out something nefarious at this point, or is that still a possibility?
Well, I think we can't rule out anything, and this is where the FBI comes in. Their investigation, of course, is about much more than just that moment or those minutes or that event, the shooting itself, but rather the investigation of how did it happen, why did it happen, what was the motivation of the shooter, what's his background, who are his friends, and all of the acquaintances, accomplices, all of that. That takes a lot longer. And I think at this point it's hard to rule out anything until we have a lot more information. I want to believe that it's not nefarious. But it gets back to transparency. If in fact the problem was they didn't have enough resources to cover multiple events, it's their job to ask for the resources. One of the things that Congress almost never turns down is when law enforcement needs more resources to have more people to protect and serve. And so if that's the situation, tell us what you need and we'll try to get it for you. But there's something. Let me just say, the lack of being forthcoming is what raises the suspicions of other things. And you never want to leave these things to the imagination of the public if the facts would be better. So please tell us the facts.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today is Senator Kevin Cramer, Republican from North Dakota. Senator, I want to get your reaction to last night. I have seen and covered a lot of conventions. That has to have been one of the most incredible nights I have ever seen. So much emotion that it was like a roller coaster ride. And I'm wondering what it was like for you being there.
So, Todd, you used the right word. It's emotional. And people often ask me, what do we expect tonight? You know, what's been your takeaway? To me, the emotion is what's different. Yes, we're more unified, for sure. And yes, our base is broadening, which is a great thing in politics. We always love to have a broader base and a deeper one. All of that's true, but the emotion is different. There is we're ahead in the Super Bowl, arena full of fans sort of emotion, for sure. But there's also the additional emotion of looking at a man that people genuinely love. And, I think sometimes, I remember one time telling Donald Trump, I said, sir, you need to understand, when people tell you they love you, they mean they love you. They don't, it's not like, yeah, we love you, man. Or yeah, we love the Minnesota Vikings or the Tennessee Titans. It's like, no, we love you. And what you've seen these last three nights and what you saw big time yet last night, although I think about the night before as well. But last night with the Gold Star, the parents, the grandchild, the 98-year-old veteran, and of course those incredible UNC heroes, was genuine emotion. And that roller coaster you speak of, I think tonight we get to the high point of that emotion. But the initial when Donald Trump steps on that stage, you're going to see the biggest hug you've ever seen in your life from a whole bunch of people in an arena representing a whole bunch of other people around the country and the world. And I mean, I'm ready to cry. I don't mind telling you, I'm a big guy, but I'm ready to cry.
No, there was just a lot of pollen in that room last night. And I think there was a lot of, right. and in my living room, it was wow. So powerful. And
yeah,
tonight, they've got Dana White from UFC. You got Hulk Hogan. It's going to be a wild night, I believe, in Milwaukee. Fight night in Milwaukee. Yeah.
It's a big tent, Todd. It's getting to be a really big tent, and I love it.
What did you think about J.D. Vance, the remarks that he shared, you know, his mom? And, you know, I know that your governor, Burgum, he got moved by that particular part of it. You know, his mom, 10 years sober, dealing with the drug addiction, mentioning his mamaw. Man, it was just, this was just, you know, this was, I was connecting with this guy.
Well, first of all, J.D. Vance is a very good storyteller. But if he was Steven Spielberg, he couldn't make a better story up. The fact that we were witnessing in real time, in real life, this genuine person describing a genuine life of struggle. And to me, of all of the emotions of the night, him introducing his mother may have, for me, been the most moving. Because if you send out talent scouts, a casting crew, find the perfect Midwestern Rust Belt mom, and if you could, maybe make her look like she's struggled with addiction, and let's see if we can create a really emotional moment, you'd come back with J.D. Vance's mom. And you wouldn't have to write the story. It's so real. And that's what I think this is why people are connecting, to your point. People are connecting with Donald Trump, with the Republican Party, and it doesn't matter what color they are, doesn't matter where they come from, doesn't matter their lot in life, their social status, their economic status. Everybody's connecting with this party right now, and J.D. certainly brought that home last night.
All right. Well, it's going to be a fascinating night, and I suspect we're going to have a massive viewing audience across the nation and really across the world as we finally get to hear from President Trump, the first time publicly speaking since the events of Saturday.
Yeah.
Senator, God bless you, and tell Senator Blackburn to hang in there. if you guys need bail money, call. It's
Well, one thing you can be sure of, James Lankford, he will not need bail money.
No.
I cannot speak for myself.
I love it. All right, Senator, God bless.
Thank you so much, Todd. You bet. He does. Bye-bye.
All right, Senator Kevin Cramer from North Dakota. We're going to get the senator back on. It's a lot of fun. It reminded me of the time way back when Obama was president and he shut down all the parks, and we had a group of a flight of military veterans, World War II, that were coming, that had just flown to D.C. I was working out of the D.C. Bureau at Fox, and they wanted to go to the World War II Memorial, and it had literally been roped off of this plastic fencing. And so I'll never forget Michelle Bachmann and I believe Louis Gohmert back in the day. We were all down there. I was doing a live TV hit, and I just happened to bring along some cutting shears. And we're going to engage in an act of civil disobedience. So we went in there, and we literally were going to cut the fencing. But then the park police actually opened up the gates there. But anyway, you never know. It's always fun to be around those kinds of lawmakers who are willing to do the right thing. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Lost to cancer, then our sons and daughters. lost on his watch. Worse than that, he has never said their names out loud. And during last month's debate, he claimed no service members have died during his administration. None. That hurt us all deeply. So Alicia and I are here to say the names of all 13 service members who lost their lives. All 13 service members who lost their lives at Abbey Gate. David Espinoza. Nicole G. Taylor Hoover. Ryan C. Knaus. Riley McCollum. Dylan Marola. Kareem Nakui. Dagan Page. Johanny Pichardo. Humberto Sanchez. Jared Schmitz. Maxson Sobiak. And my son, Hunter Lopez.
All right. That was one of the more poignant moments from last night's Republican National Convention gathering. I'm telling you, it was a roller coaster, folks. Just a roller coaster of emotion. And the voice you heard there belonged to Herman Lopez, his wife Alicia by his side. Their son, Corporal Hunter Lopez, was one of those killed on August 26, 2021. You know, it's interesting, even CNN acknowledged in their reporting of this last night that Biden never recovered from that, that Biden has never mentioned their names. And then for the crowd, it took him 1 second. It just took him a second to catch on. And then we saw the crowd reciting the names together. It was just that sort of a mood last night where everybody, and I don't know about you, and I'm wondering, did any of you recite the names along with the Lopez's and the crowd at the RNC? Because I found myself doing that last night as I was watching the coverage. Just really a remarkable, remarkable moment. But what a shame for this nation that the commander-in-chief would not even acknowledge their names, would not even meet with the family members. And you say, well, the president's a busy guy. You know what? He's got time to meet all those transgender activists. He's got time to meet all of the drag queens and all of this other riffraff. But he's not going to take the time to stand alongside and mourn with and comfort the grieving mothers, fathers, widows, widowers. Come on. Anyway, good job, Republicans. Good job. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, if you haven't got a copy, you got to get a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? You can get one right now at your favorite bookstore, Amazon. Or you can head over to the Todd Stearns store, and you can do that at toddstearns.com. All right, she's been holding on since yesterday. Lord love her. Youngstown, Ohio, Evelyn. Evelyn, hope you're doing good today.
I am doing great. We're on vacation, and I actually caught you.
Ooh.
And I've gotten much of the Republican convention. And I had two questions, really. But where's Ivanka?
Well, she has not been there. She is expected to be there tonight, though. That's our understanding from the campaign, is that she will be there tonight.
Okay. Okay. That's good. That's good. The other one was we missed Peter Navarro, but I heard he spoke and brought down the house. Your comments?
You know, Evelyn, he did, and he looked great. Literally, he was set free from prison in Miami, got on a plane, flew to Milwaukee. I guess they got the guy a suit, he walked out. And let me tell you something, Evelyn, that was one of the largest applauses of the entire night was Peter Navarro.
I'm sure that's an answer to prayer. That's wonderful.
And a lot of people were asking who he was, kind of coy as to who the very attractive looking blonde woman was that he had with him on stage. I'm assuming there's a relationship because he was making out with her.
Okay.
So, well, you know, the man's been in prison for 4 months. What are you going to do, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's wonderful. So, great. Thank you so much.
All right, Evelyn. Thank you for calling. Hope you have a great vacation. Hey, Evelyn.
Yes.
Are you vacationing in Youngstown, Ohio, or are you from?
No, I live in Youngstown. We're in Frankenmuth, Michigan.
Oh, very nice. All right, so that's where you guys go to vacation, in that neck of the woods.
Well, this time, yes.
I love it. All right. Well, Evelyn, good call.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks for holding on. Thanks for being patient. You know, it's interesting. She didn't ask where Melania was. Everybody's been asking that. We understand the first lady is going to be here tonight. That's our understanding. So, all right, that's good. Let's go to Jessica, Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Jessica. What's going on?
Hello there. I am a proud Republican.
Good for you. Jessica, after last night, it was just so exciting and exhilarating. Did you watch any of the coverage?
We watched night before last and last night, and can't wait for tonight. Watched every bit of it. And I've been very interested in my Democrat friends who have put on Facebook, oh, God, you know, how could I stand that? I watched 5 minutes and turned the TV off. And it was so varied from minute to minute with what sentiment was being shared. I think everybody should watch all of it. It's just been fascinating. And, yes, the reason I called was to answer your question, did we say the names? And yes, with tears in our eyes, we said the name. So, yeah. And I was very proud of that. Very proud.
Jessica, watching those grown men, you know, they scanned the camera, scanned the crowd, and you could just see Republicans of all walks of life, all shapes and sizes. Yep. And there wasn't a dry eye anywhere in that crowd.
Well, there were two of us in our room, and there were no dry eyes in our skin. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I understand.
It made me proud because it reminded me of how great this country is and how great this country can be, Jessica. And everything from, you know, just the moving recitation of the names to the UNC Chapel Hill frat boys coming out.
Wow. I loved it. Yep.
Yep.
And one of my favorites was the World War II. Little feisty gentleman who just, I don't remember his name, he just made my heart sing. And it was wonderful. It was all wonderful. That's my whole point. It was all wonderful.
And that guy said that if he could, he'd sign back up again.
That's right. And you better believe he would.
98 years old, that guy is. 98 yep. years old.
Yep. And proud to be an American.
Absolutely. And it sounds like you're proud to be an American. I know you're living in a blue state or blue city in a red state. It's kind of tough, but you're fighting the good fight, Jessica.
Yes, sir, I am. I do my best.
Good for you. Well, Jessica, thank you for listening to KWAM. We really appreciate it.
You're doing a great job. Talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Jessica. One of our great KWAM listeners. And let me tell you something. I know a lot, you folks in Salem, you get this. And I think in Portland, Maine, you guys get it too, to a great extent. We're broadcasting in some super blue areas of America. And it takes a special kind of a person to be a Republican and to be a conservative in these communities. You gotta be a little tougher. You gotta be willing to fight every day. And I think that people who live in those areas have even a little bit, an extra heaping, helping, an extra dose of hope, because we can see what it can be. And I'm one of those people. I truly believe that one day Memphis is going to be a great conservative success story. I believe that. I hope it's in my lifetime. By the way, Sergeant William Peckrell is his name, 98 years old, World War II veteran. He says America is still worth fighting for, and I believe that. And he said he'd be honored to sign back up if he was able to serve under President Trump. That meant a lot. But you got to see America last night. I think that's why it was so emotional, is you got to see who we are. And we've taken a few punches, we've taken a few body blows over these past 3.5 years, but we're still standing. I know we're getting a little bit wobbly in the knees, but we're still standing. We're still in the fight, and it's going to be okay, but we got to get all of us out there, every single one of us. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I got some nasty emails. Man, I've been getting the and look, that's what we do here, so I'm used to it, but still, we're getting it from all sides. And I got a nasty little note about religion. And there's how come you haven't been out there condemning Harvey Dillon? How come you haven't been out there complaining about the Hindu stuff? And I'm like, well, wait a second. What do you think freedom of religion means in America? What do you think freedom of religion is all about? You think it's just for one religion? No, of course not. We live in a nation where you are free to practice your faith, your religion. And I've got news for you, and I know this irritates a lot of folks, because I know that there are a lot of people on the Protestant side, they don't like the Catholics, don't like the Protestants, but you know what? We're all in this fight together, people. And the Hindus and the Buddhists, and look, I don't care what religion you are, as long as you don't want to blow me up, I'm good. I can hang out with you, as long as you don't want to blow me to kingdom come. As long as you don't want to throw people off of rooftops, I'm good with that. But I'm telling you, folks, this mentality of you have to toe the line, and if you veer off, then all of a sudden that makes you a horrible human being. That's not who we are as Americans. That's certainly not who we are as Republicans, as conservatives. I'm just saying. So anyway, just because someone, and look, you may be a Protestant, you may be Catholic, you may be a Pentecostal, you may be Jewish, it doesn't matter. You get to practice your faith here in this country. And I would like to think that Republicans would be willing to fight for that freedom. Freedom of religion. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. Coming up, we're going to be talking to our good buddy Art Alley from TimothyPlan.com. Art Alley is the founder of Timothy Plan. Have you guys checked him out yet? Because you really need to. TimothyPlan.com is his website. And I'm just telling you, there's some fascinating material there, especially if you're looking to start investing and getting involved and in the early stages of investing and making sure. And this is what I love about Art. And I'm going to say this now because we always run out of time. The great thing about Art is that over 30 years ago, he knew that if we were really going to make an impact in the culture, that Christians were going to have to start spending their money in smart ways and in smarter places. And that's the whole point of Timothy Plan. And I know a lot of you out there are people of faith, and you want to be able to do that. And if you're able to get a return on your investment and not support abortion or any of these other radical agendas out there, wouldn't you want to do that? I know I would. Which is why I'm a big fan of what Art and the team over at Timothy Plan is doing. Again, TimothyPlan.com, and we're going to be talking to Art in just a few moments. I told you we were going to break, but I want you to hang tight for a second because I wanted to get to some other audio. Sorry. All right, here we go. This is ABC's Terry Moran. Terry and I worked together on the, through a couple of presidential cycles, a good guy. But it was interesting, even ABC News was a little taken aback by what happened during that Gold Star Family segment at last night's RNC. Cut 19.
David, I'm not sure I've ever experienced anything like that at a convention. The connection between this crowd and those family members of the fallen was just absolutely extraordinary. The emotions, the call and response that the crowd started spontaneously. Never forget reciting and repeating the names as they were read out. And it wasn't just the compassion and the sorrow that linked the crowd and those speakers. It was the anger. I've been out here this afternoon talking to veterans, Vietnam-era veterans, Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, about the campaign in general. And without being prompted, they bring up Afghanistan and the sense of shame and anger that they felt for the country and in this campaign.
Mm. And he's not wrong. He is not wrong. Real quick, before we go, Van Jones, this is how I you know that it's over for Biden. Here's Van Jones talking about Joe Biden's COVID test. Got 12.
A bullet couldn't stop Trump. A virus just stopped Biden.
Ouch.
You've got the nominees of this party getting their butts kissed. Biden's getting his butt kicked by his own party. The Democrats are coming apart. The Republicans are coming together.
There you go. Meanwhile, Joyless Reid, literally on BSNBC, said the following, that there's really no difference between Donald Trump getting shot in the head and Joe Biden coming down with a case of COVID and surviving. That there's, she said, those are the exact same things. So a bad cold is just as bad as getting shot in the head. That's coming from BSNBC. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Good to have you with us. Let's go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Our good buddy Art Alley joins us, founder of the Timothy Plan, timothyplan.com. Art, I'm curious, have you been watching any of the RNC coverage?
Not a lot of the convention itself, but I couldn't be happier with watching God's hand intervene in the life of Donald Trump.
You know,
that was incredible.
A lot of people are saying that what happened Saturday was divine intervention. Are you one of those guys?
Not only me, but Donald Trump himself understands that now, and that's incredible. Yes, sir, I believe that.
Art, Go ahead, Art.
How would he turn his head at just the exact time when that bullet is coming his way? That was divine. And, you know, it set a whole tone that's just been not seen in politics for a long, long time at that convention.
It's true. And tonight, of course, President Trump will speak for the first time in public since that shooting. And Art, everybody that we've been talking to around the president says that he's a changed man.
Well, Todd, wouldn't you be? I mean, my goodness. I think he kind of believed before, but now I think he really understands who's in control of it all. And that is a life-changing experience. That's incredible, man.
Mm. Art Alley, founder of Timothy Plan, timothyplan.com on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I thought that, you know, one of the big messages coming through is that the American families are under fierce attack. From the economy, from Biden inflation, and you can't even take the kids out for a McDonald's burger. And Art, I wonder at the end of the day, is the economy, do you think, going to be the big issue coming up on Election Day?
I think it's always the issue, Todd, and I think we all understand that. It gets real personal. I don't care what your stripe is. When you're struggling, when you're suffering, you're not a happy camper. But there's so many other, wide open border letting terrorists populate our nation. And people are seeing and experiencing that in almost every city in America. We've been in a mess. And I think the toughest guy that I've seen run for that office is about to win. And I think he can straighten that out in a long weekend.
Well, I'm with you on that. And again, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take some time. But Art, what advice do you give to people, especially, you know, with their investments? You know, a lot of people are saying, oh, we need to pull our money out of the investments. What advice do you give folks?
Well, you know, if you're nervous about it, go ahead and pull them out. But, you know, it's a long-term process. It takes time to make money in the markets. The markets have gone through world wars. They've gone through all kinds of things. This is nothing new. But be cautious. Be conservative. Don't be like rolling the dice for some big hit somewhere. But, you know, this too will pass. I will feel a whole lot better when this election is behind us and we start bringing some common sense back to America again. But these people have found out, you know, we are a very big nation, and it's almost too big for them to take over like they've been trying to do for some time.
Real quick, Art, we've got about a minute here. Folks, going to timothyplan.com, and we gave you guys a big plug coming into this segment. What advice would you give people in this economy, and maybe they are not investing? What advice would you give them?
Well, the same advice I've been given for over 60 years, man. Well, maybe not 60, but over 50 years. Number one, get out of debt, stay out of debt, get everything paid for. Don't be buying stuff you can't afford. Build up a cash reserve so that you don't have to go into debt when the stuff happens to you. And then begin investing when you're secure enough where when something happens, you don't have to pull money out because you'll be pulling it out at exactly the wrong time. Always seems to happen. Just be conservative and diversified. You know, and Timothy is known for not investing in companies supporting evil stuff like abortion, pornography, and the rest. But, you know, one of the number one things we avoid is owning any company based in China. That Communist Party is trying to destroy us, and they may not own every company, but they certainly control every company there. And Wall Street is enabling China to accomplish their world domination goals, and Timothy's not going to have any of that. We won't own any China company because they are trying to destroy.
And Art, we're going to have to leave it there, my friend. The computer is going to cut us off. Art Alley, everybody, timothyplan.com. That's timothyplan.com. Folks, this is the only group that I trust with my investments, and you ought to check them out, timothyplan.com. Be good, everybody. We'll see you tonight on Newsmax.